I'm not going to kiss you like my wife.
Thank
you. Oh, God bless. Have a seat, please. Thank you, Bob. Those very kind comments. I want to send special greetings out to those on the CD subscription list. Boy, this is going to be one of those mornings, I guess, huh? Okay, well, whatever. You're starting before you even get into the Word. But, oh, gosh. Anyway, I want to send my greetings and blessings out to those on the CD subscription list. And for all of you, certainly it's a blessing and joy to be able to share the greatness of God's Word. I want to start this morning reading a poem. It's entitled A Certain Man. It's easy to run the race when the course is smooth, the cheering crowds applauding every preconditioned move. It's easy to swim the stream with the current strong, floating along effortlessly, no hint of being wrong. It's easy to soar the skies where obstacles are thin, safe from the valley of need where commitment is required within. It's easy to be bitter when unjustly wronged, to lash back with venom or hold the anger long. It's easy to lead others when patted on the back, when everyone is supporting you and taking up the slack. It's easy to call it quits when the pressures mount, succumbing to temptation of taking the easy way out. But it's rare to find a certain man who runs the course when rough. Departed crowds no longer cheer, yet with believing, he still strides tough. And it's rare to find a certain man who swims against the current, battered waves of unbelief, not dampening God as his assurance. And it's rare to find a certain man who leaves peaceful skies above and plunges into valleys need to serve with a heart of love. And it's rare to find a certain man who, when unjustly wrong, controls his tongue and guards his heart, giving his all for God. It's rare to find a certain man who desires to lead others, his inner heart's desire a beautiful act, ministering God's word to his sisters and his brothers. It's rare to find a certain man who's determined not to fold, but with the hope of Christ's return through pressures, he stands bold. And it's rare to find a certain man who'll count the cost and all the bother, and in the end knows the world was blessed because he dared to say yes to the Father. Joshua chapter 1, please. We all have challenges at different times in our lives. But the thing we can continue to do is to look to God in every circumstance, in every situation. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Who knows that? Somewhere out here, someone knows that. I know they do. Rachel, let's hear it. Exactly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him. What a great joy. You know, Joshua had a little opportunity here. Great man of God passed away, died. His name was Moses. And Joshua was entrusted with the responsibility of continuing to lead the children of Israel. And there was quite a number of those folks. And he may have doubted his ability a little bit to follow through or carry on with that responsibility. I just want to read some verses here before we really get into the meat and potatoes of this teaching. Verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is what?
Dead.
Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Moses never went into the promised land, did he? No, Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. That was quite a large responsibility. He might have been a little intimidated by the responsibility at that moment. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given unto you, as I have said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good what? Courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance for the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou what? Strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this used to be a retimer we had. Remember when we were doing those week by week? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. It says, be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, that just rings so true still in our day and time. God is the greatest cheerleader we have. God's out there just banging around with the pom-poms and everything else. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. See, I am there with you. You know, courage is the quality of mind that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, and adverse circumstances with firmness and without fear. To act in accordance with one's beliefs in spite of criticism. It means to be strong, to be courageous, see? To be resolute, which means to be unwavering, undaunted, in other words, not discouraged or forced to abandon the purpose of our effort, not giving way to fear. See, many of us have heard, fear is the believer's greatest enemy. It is sand in the machinery of life. It is the one thing that defeats the promises of God in a believer's life. See? God's exhortation to Joshua in the middle of this huge transition says, be strong. Be of a good courage. I'm going to be there with you through all of this. See? When life's just going along, the rivers of life are just flowing, like this poem said. It's easy to run the race when the course is smooth. Cheering crowds applauding every preconditioned move. See? Just like cruising. You know, everything's just great. See? Easy to swim the stream with the current strong. Floating along effortlessly. No hint of being wrong. See? This morning, what I want to share on him is a subject called the courage to forgive. Because you know what? It takes courage at times to be forgiving. Throughout God's Word, it is a tremendous subject. Doctrinally, that's not the issue. The issue becomes the practice of forgiveness. Now, many of you in this room are married. And many of you have had, what should we say, moments of miscommunication with your spouse? Is that politically correct to say it that way? You have argued, you have fought, you have ticked each other off, whatever you want to call it. Or maybe you've done that with, and maybe you're not married, maybe you just have other people you've done that with. I'm sure you have. You know what? You're a human being. These things come up. It's not like we're just tiptoeing through the tulips. These are real life, real time issues. But there are godly solutions to be able to work through these altercations so that there's a peaceful result at the very end. I mean, throughout God's Word in the church epistles, throughout God's Word in the Old Testament, it talks about being forgiving. See? Ephesians 4:32. Shall we have a quick look at that just to bring it back to your mind? Many of you know this. You've read this hundreds of times probably. Well, we're not just talking about reading it and saying, oh, yeah, that I agree with that. I just won't do it. I mean, you know what that's called? Mental assent. Does everything but act on the Word of God literally, you know. I think Kenyon called it the cancer of Christianity. Looks at this Word. Yeah, that's a great Word of God. I'm not gonna do it. So, you know, we just have to work with our minds to get it to the point that this Word of God becomes more living and real. It actually becomes the standard upon which we will base our lives. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. Now this is remember Ephesians talking about the body of Christ and their interactions together. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, a great man once said, you will never have a problem forgiving others when you remember what God forgave you for. You will never have a problem doing it. And that's many times what happens. We've forgotten where we've come from. See? What we've been blessed with, what we've received. See? I'll show you just an absolutely unbelievable record in God's Word in Luke chapter 23. Now, I would say this is probably the most intense day of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without a doubt. Verse 32. It says there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to what? Death. This was a very intense moment. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then 34, look at this. Then said Jesus, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. At the moment of the crucifixion, Jesus Christ had the presence of mind and the heart and the meekness and the humility of mind to offer this statement. Absolutely unbelievable. You know, the word forgive starts with the root word charis, charis, from grace. You know, if you think about forgiveness, really, it's the horizontal extension of our understanding of God's grace to us, that we're willing to cut other people some slack. And maybe they didn't live up to our expectations or whatever. But we're willing to recognize God's unmerited favor in our own life, and we're willing to extend that on a horizontal basis. The word forgive means to send away, means to dismiss, or to set free. It's to express the discharge or acquittal of a defendant, and especially to remit the punishment where the guilty person is dealt with as if he were innocent. Now, I bring this up, you know, with the marriage relationship, and we all kind of chuckle about it, but that's a great laboratory for the implementation of these principles that we're talking about, because we all have moments where things aren't just tiptoeing through the tulips. Or if you're single, you have moments in your relationships with other people where you're just not tiptoeing through the tulips. You have to work through some of the dynamics of this principle of forgiveness. And you have to have courage at times to be able to do that, to go against the status quo, to make sure that this Word of God really rises to the surface. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Two very simple words that I would like to introduce into this teaching that I think are really helpful in the application of this principle. Actually, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, so I'll give you a moment to get there. Two very simple words. I'm sorry. You know what? Those two words can say so much in the heat of somebody trying to prove their point. You know, because you got these two people, and one's right, and the other one's don't. Yeah. Thank you. So you got two right people, and everybody's trying to prove their point and try to substantiate and rationalize and do all these things as to why they're right. You know, and a lot of times it escalates into things that you just don't need to go there. Unfortunately, we've all gone there. But those two words, I'm sorry, if we could ever just get past our own pride and ego and offer those words quickly into the altercation, you know what? This whole thing would pan itself out much quicker. But you know, sometimes things happen in people's lives. They don't end up talking for days, weeks, months, years. How many people do you know that maybe had an altercation or misunderstanding with somebody and it ended their relationship? They never spoke to that person again. You know, when I first got in God's Word, my brother, bless his heart, I was pretty adamant, pretty zealous about God's Word, and he never really quite understood that. And, you know, one day, he was out mowing the lawn. We lived in a little town in Illinois, and I was there, and I walked over to his house just to kind of see what was going on. And he turned the lawnmower off. He walked up to me. He said, "You know, as long as you're involved," and he wasn't saying it quite like this, but he was using some choice words. But he said, "As long as you're involved in this, I don't want to have anything to do with you." You know, I did not talk to him for 16 years. 16 years. See? And then the first time I ever heard from him was when my dad had a stroke, and I heard a message on our answering machine. That was the first time I had heard from him in 16 years. That wasn't really necessary for it to have to go to that degree. See? And a lot of these things we're talking about, they can be handled, especially amongst Christian people who know God's Word. See, we just have to have the courage to sort of tread on ground maybe that we don't normally go on a whole lot, or we don't know what we're doing. But you know, we can do it, because the other side of the coin is that if we don't offer forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, I've done it. It's a very humbling thing. I trust you have too. Have you ever gone to somebody and say, "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" You know what? That puts the meat on the platter. There's no guessing. It's just there. See. And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ with people who were crucifying him to die. He goes to God and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ephesians chapter 1. I tell you, the subject of forgiveness in God's word is extremely foundational, but yet it's something that continues on with us all of our Christian life. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The what? The forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Boy, God has just looked way beyond you. He has actually, like, reached down and just pulled you so far beyond your imagination. He has offered you a clean slate. You ever talked about turning over a new leaf? Oh, man, every New Year's, everybody wants to turn over a new year leaf. New leaf. God has given you a great opportunity. His mercies fail not. They are new every morning. See, Romans chapter 6 talks about putting off the old, putting on the new. What is the heart of the new man? Loving, forgiving, all the qualities of Christ within you. See? Well, sure, we can choose to not do that, but we don't get the greatest benefit in our lives from choosing not to accept what God says we already are. We're fighting against something that's internally and eternally born within us. The forgiveness of sins according what? To the riches of his grace. Think about it. The word forgive, to send away, dismiss. Ken did some kind of great thing with the word forgiveness where it's like you give whatever anger you have to God so that you can deal with that person with the love of God. See? That you don't just continue to internalize and harbor resentment and ill feelings, because you know what eventually will happen? Those will come out of your mouth. And pretty soon, you'll be talking about it. You'll be talking about it. You know why I know that? Because God's Word talks about it. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, this opens and begins to speak. See, ever met anybody whose feelings got hurt? Of course you have. Maybe you were the one. It is so easy to then begin to talk about not only how you feel, but who hurt your feelings. And how could they possibly do that? And who do they think they are? And you know what? You enter into a whole nother realm, the realm of Adam. We're not of Adam's nature, remember? It's not who we are. It's not the quality of life and heart and authority and dominion and everything that we have. That's not who we are. Colossians chapter 1. Boy, great to be reminded just of some very simple, basic truths. See, but so critical in the practice of the word. Remember, courage is that quality of mind that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, adverse circumstances with firmness, without fear. See, we look at somebody going into the battlefield over in the Middle East and say, man, those guys are so courageous. And yes, they are. But you know who else is courageous? men and women that will put this word of God into action in their day-by-day living. To me, that's courageous. That's courage. See? Because you can take the lowest of the low and put a gun in their hand, and they're courageous, aren't they? You know, because they got this big old gun. You know, and I could, you know, do whatever I want with whoever I want because of this gun. You know what? We got the Spirit of God within us. See? We can walk, we can talk with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us, given us citizenship in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We'll look in 1 John to close, please. Well, what a tremendous subject in the practical walk of a Christian. In the practical walk of a believer. The practical walk of a married person. A practical walk of a single person. The practical walk of a child. You know, because the world has their standards. Get even. I'll tell you what, man. If somebody ticks me off, you know what I'm going to do? I'll get even. I'll find a way. It may take me years, but I'll find a way to get back at that person. Or you just get mad. Or I'm sure you guys could come up with a zillion other things that people would do. God's Word gives us solutions, gives us answers, because God knows we're not that blessed and profited when we're holding resentment and bitterness in our heart. It stops us from really being the kind of people that God wants us to be. See? First John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that what? Your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. In him is no darkness, none. Not that itsy bitsy teeny little bit of darkness. It's not God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Or like Ernst said, liar. And his word is not in us. Does this have anything to do with our salvation? No. This has everything to do with the walk. See? Because sometimes, believe it or not, you and I get out of fellowship with God. Well, how do you repair that relationship? How do you get back in fellowship with God? Here's the instruction on how to do that. God forbid that this happens, you know, much, but occasionally, if and when it does happen, God gives us a solution. Hey, this is how to do it. You know, you talk to Daddy about it. You're talking with God about it. And you know what? I don't see anything in God's Word that says it's wrong in any way to say to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Now, that is a great example, maybe, of how we're working together on a horizontal basis in terms of how to offer forgiveness and accept forgiveness from one another. See? Because I do not believe Kent Davenport gets up in the morning thinking about a way to ruin my day. Or Dan Mikas, or anybody else in here. And I'll be real honest with you. You know, maybe Vicki and I would, I mean, believe it or not, I mean, occasionally we might have a little tiff or, you know, something going on, or misunderstanding. You know, and in the process, I said, well, you know what? My heart wasn't just like, wake up this morning and ruin your day. You know, it's not like I'm just, you know, all about just trying to bring evil into your life or something. I mean, it's amazing what you can really say, but just to keep it in its proper perspective, you know? And I understand that about Kent. I mean, he understands this is nothing personal, but, you know, even with him and Vicki and all of us, we have to work through the dynamics of living together and being in relationships with one another, because there are things sometimes that just happen that we don't understand completely, and we get hurt. But, the exhortation of God's word is, go to that person. Get it worked out. See? I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and say, this has happened, and this has happened. I'm saying, well, have you been to that person and talked? Well, no. Because, see, it's a lot easier for me to go to them and work it out with them. But that's not the standard of God's word. See? So, you know, we just have to be courageous and have the courage to forgive. I mean, golly, Jesus Christ, such a great example. If there was anything in the man's mind to think of at that point in time, you wouldn't think it would have been forgiving the people who were killing him. None of us face that. None of us face that. But let's have the unwavering and the undaunted attitude of heart and mind to be aggressive to forgive, because it is so critical for the unity of the body of believers. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this time in your word. Father, we can just take a deep breath here and cast the cares and concerns of our hearts upon you. And Father, I just trust that this word of God is so living and real and so far beyond our ability to come up with anything even remotely close to it. But you've just given us simple guidelines, Father, and I just pray that our hearts can sing with the joy of the Lord, that we can be energized and filled, Father, to walk forward and, Father, to introduce others to what a wonderful, loving Father you are and what a wonderful, loving family we have. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.